Good to see everyone here this morning. Today, we're going to look in God's Word about peace. Peace of mind, peace of soul, peace of heart, peace with brethren. You know, you can see the little baker chef up there. I've used him in a lot of templates that I have with recipes. We all know recipes. I love my daughter's. I miss my daughter and love her dessert she cooks. I can remember the day when she started. Remember how she got her recipes off of Pinterest. I remember many times she failed. I remember many times she done good and great and awesome. I can also remember the time she failed was because she didn't follow the recipe that she was given and she got. She forgot something, added too much, didn't put it in, didn't read it, didn't follow it. And then I can remember the ones that she done awesome on. She followed them to the T. She got them nailed perfect, and they were awesome. Really good. I hope I don't embarrass her by using her as an example. But that's what comes to mind when I think of it. And peace is no different. God gives us that in Scripture of how we can have peace of heart, soul, mind, and peace of the brethren in the church. We have that given to us. It's up to us whether or not we follow it. Just as a great recipe and a good chef can make a disastrous dessert or disastrous food if they don't follow that recipe to the T. God's Word is no different. Let us make sure we follow it to the T. So let's look and see what that recipe may be. Let's look into God's Word and follow with me. Scripture reading that Brother Lawton read for us, we'll look at verse 19 of 17 through 19 of Romans. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and all the things by which one may edify another. Let's make sure we look for peace. In the King James Version, the New Testament, 92 times peace is mentioned. 92. 92 times. So that should tell us that peace is pretty important. Really relevant to our lives, relevant to the congregation. I hit that escape button again. The dreaded escape button. Definition of peace means freedom from conflict or bitter disagreement. I love harmony. It also means harmony. Freedom from conflict or bitter disagreement or harmony. If we don't have peace of heart, mind, soul, you're not going to have harmony in church. You're not going to have harmony in your daily lives. You're not going to have harmony at all. You won't have that inner peace that passes all understanding. You have to have peace. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord, according as to His divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. Whatever is in our lives, whatever we need to find peace, God has given it. Scripture shows us that. Also shows us that pursuing peace is godly. If we want godliness in our lives, which we should as Christians, then we must pursue that peace. Also shows that God has given us the recipe for peace. Therefore, God has given us the recipe for peace. If all things pertain to life and godliness is given by the inspired Word of God, can be found in Scripture, then God has given us that recipe. So let's see if we can find it. Y'all would study along with me as we look into God's Word. First, as we talked about when we first started, a recipe must be wanted, it must be read, and it must be followed. Has to be. Absolutely has to be. What happens if you don't? As we talked about, you will fail. Your recipe will bomb. Look with Romans at Romans 14:17. This is our scripture reading, focusing on 17. We see that peace describes the kingdom of God. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God describes peace. If we want peace, if we as Christians are seeking to follow God's will and to keep His kingdom and to keep harmony and peace in our lives and in His kingdom, we will seek that peace. We will look for it and find it in His Word. Why must we seek peace? Why? God guides us with the peace. That's why we need that peace in our life. We need to have that peace in our life, and we need to figure out how to put it in there, just like the recipe, and let God guide us in that peace. Look with me at Luke 1:76-79, which reads, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord and prepare His way, to give knowledge of salvation to His people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, and to give our feet into the way of peace. God guides us by giving light, and giving it to guide our feet into the way of peace. Are we going to let God guide our steps through His Word? Are we going to let God guide our steps in our lives and give us that peace? Also, God gives it. Just said, are we going to let God give us that peace? Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Here we see Paul telling the Thessalonian church, he's letting that say in his prayer, may God give you peace at all times in every way. He's telling them, God gives it. But it's up to us to make sure we put it in our lives. It's our responsibility, individual, to make sure we follow and have that peace in our heart, which passes all understanding. Also, because it's fruit of the Spirit. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Look with me in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ shall have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in the step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceiting and provoking one another in envy. Let us not be envying one another. peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we as Christians need to develop our lives around, is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we as Christians desire to be. That's what God wants us to put off in the world for others to see Him. Let us be that light in the shining world, in the world. Let us have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. A church where members seek peace, depart from evil and do good. They seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We see two things here. Depart from evil and do good. Pursue peace and seek it. It's your choice of what you want to do. Seek the evil. Let the peace sink. Which is your option. Or let the evil go down and let a peace come forth. Are we going to let the evil in our life overcome us? Are we going to let peace rise and come on top? The peace that passes all understanding. It's up to us. Look with me at 1 Peter 3:9-11. 1 Peter 3:9-11. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who loves life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit, let him turn away from evil and do good. Look at the last part there. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let him seek peace and pursue it. First off, I want to look at the top a little bit. What you give is what you get in life. What you give is what you get. If you seek evil, what's going to happen? You're going to get evil. If you seek blessings, what's going to happen? You're going to get blessing. If you seek peace, what's going to happen? You're going to get peace. I want to look at or think of what you say in your life, what you see in your life, what you love in your life is manifested and showed by what? Your actions. For he who loves life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, let his lips speaking from deceit. I'll look at the last part. When evil presents itself, do good. And that can go many ways. Any kind of evil. Not just bad things. Anything in life that, I guess it would be bad things. Anything in life that is bad, seek the opposite. Embrace peace when it is given. Seek peace and pursue it. Pursue peace when denied. Sometimes in our life, we're denied peace. I've had it denied. I've seen my wife get it denied many years ago with herself. But she wanted it. She wanted that peace and she fixed it. She figured it out. I can remember a doctor told her one time, all you need to do is get Jesus in your life. Sorry. And you know what? She did. And it fixed it. Wasn't instant, but it fixed it. It took time. took time for her to develop and for her to grow. And why? Because she desired that peace. She wanted that peace. She wanted it. And she seeked after it. And she put it in her life. A church where members bear with one another. A church where members bear with one another. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. He says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to look at this word bearing. What does bearing mean? Greek word, we see that bearing means to hold up. Means to hold up. I also want to look at endeavoring. Endeavoring means to use speed, to make effort, be prompt, or earnest. Now, if we're bearing with one another in love and endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit, then we're going to do everything we can in our lives to make sure that peace is there. Because we're being long-suffering with ourselves, with our brethren, with our sisters, because we want that peace. Bearing with brethren is not teaching to be tolerant of sinful practices or actions. It is not to teach to be tolerant of sinful things in our lives or in the other brethren's lives. Don't lose your focus on what bearings is. In other words, don't lose your bearing on life. Don't lose your bearings on what God says. Don't use your own understanding. Look at Philippians 4:2. It says, I am poor Eudia, and I am poor Centuria, to be of the same mind in the Lord. We are all here as members of the church in Hoboken to be of the same mind. We all need to seek that peace within ourselves so that we can be of the same mind. Because if we don't have peace, it's not going to be... People here will not be of the same mind. Also, let's look at Mark 9:50. I think everyone knows about the salt of the earth. Salt is good, but if it loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in your lives, and what? And have peace with one another. Put that salt in your life. Have that inner peace that we all so much desire. Sometimes we see that not becoming offended if a suggestion is made. Don't let yourself become offended. Do not behave offensively if denied a question. Do not behave offensively if denying a question. A church where members put away childish things. Look at this one, number 3. A church where members put away childish things. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sometimes we see that what we can be childish like, but not be childish. We can be like a child, but not childish. It should be, when I became a Christian, I had to put away childish things. By no word am I trying to change the Word of God. It's not what I'm trying to do by saying that. It says, but the way we need to look at it, when I became a Christian, I put away childish things. That's the way we need to view it. So we need to view it in our lives by what God says. When you, myself, anyone becomes a Christian, they should desire to seek and endeavor every more in their life to be a better Christian. When you pattern yourself after the best example we have in the Bible, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you can put away childish things. He gives so many great examples in Scripture. When you pattern yourself after men, you are childish and fleshly minded. In other words, you're carnal. Look with me at a few. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. It says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? I'm reading from the English Standard Version because I feel it simplifies what is being said here, makes it easier to understand. We don't need to be as a child, but be a man. We need to be a man here. Look with me at Romans 8, 7. It says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Also, 1 Corinthians 14:20. It says, brothers, do not be children. If you think, says 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil. But in your thinking, be mature. Be a man. Don't be a child. Don't be as infants. Don't be as children in your thinking. An example of children in their thinking. I think we all have children in here that and can think of how a child thinks. A child does not think as an adult. He is not capable of making decisions. He has a mind of a child. A child thinks in such a way that I had an example I was going to use and it completely left me. Completely. We see children today, a lot of children today, pouting a lot. We see them from ages, I know I can remember some of my children at 2, 3 years old when they didn't get away, what they do. Throw their hands up, scream, cry, and fuss, and carry on because they didn't get what they wanted. What is that called? Pouting. We don't need to be as a child, and we need to be as an adult. Let's look at the word pouting. It's a childish trait we just talked about. Some words that have we can apply that to our life. Remember, us being not being as children, but having childish traits in our life. Why didn't they invite me over? Or maybe, why did you forget me in the prayer? Why didn't you visit me when I was sick? Why didn't you follow my suggestion? Why didn't you speak to me? You didn't do it the way I thought or I think it should be done. Are not these pouting? They're all pouting. Another way a child can illustrate as he is young is by being impulsive. And this is where I was trying to go to a minute ago that left me. As a child being impulsive, they don't have the mind to think like an adult. They just do it. Randomly go out and just do it and don't even think of the consequences of their actions. Can we be like that today? Can we be childish or childlike? Look at Proverbs 19:2. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. He who sins hastens with his feet. Let's think before we act. Let's be a man and not have the childish traits. Another childish trait that we see is selfishness. We know that children, when they're little, I still see it with my two boys today. They're selfish. That's my toy. I want it back. And we have to correct them. Can we have those same childish traits in our lives? Yes, we can. We always have to be vigilant and watch out how we act. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." In other words, let's look out for others' best interest, or others, put others before ourselves over our own needs, and not be as children do and just look out for whatever is best for them by being selfish. Also, Romans 12:3. It says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned him." Another childish trait we see is being self-centered. By being self-centered. Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, do not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not your own. It is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. It is seek not her own, their own. Don't seek what you want. Don't be self-centered. Look out for the best interest of others and seek what God wants. Seeking what God wants by putting others above yourself. Also, insensitive to danger. Proverbs 27:12. "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple passeth on and are punished." A prudent man foresees evil and he gets away from it. Whereas a child sees evil or sees where he can be harmed, he has no clue. We as adults can see it. We need to see it, realize it, and apply it to our lives. Remember, these are all ways to develop peace in our lives, to develop peace in the church. Another childish trait is too trusting. Proverbs 14:15, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." Children, they'll believe anything they're told. I've seen that over and over and over and over again. I've tested that theory on my own children, actually, just to see. And they can probably remember me laughing at them when they found out that I was cutting the fool with them. Children are too trusting. We need to be careful when we go out in the world and not be too trusting of others. Don't believe everything you hear, because there's a lot of faults in the world. Another childish trait we see is undiscipline or lack of self-control. Proverbs 25:28, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is what? A city broken down. To have inner peace, you have to be a city that is not broken down. Have rule over your own spirit. But Proverbs 26:17, if you found honey, eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Is that possible? And we talked a little bit about that in Bible study this morning. Is it possible for you to overinsert yourself in someone's life? I'm here to tell you, absolutely, you can. 100%. I'm beginning to figure that out with my children. They have taught me well. It's amazing what you can learn from your children. Whether if you want to open your eyes and see, they can teach you. Mine have taught me a lot in the last 2 years or more. When they become teenagers, they teach. A church where members do not meddle and other members' business. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Also Proverbs 25:17, we just talked about. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary and hate you. Go hand in hand. Offering up unasked for advice destroys the peace. It completely destroys it. 100% will destroy the peace. Now, does that mean that I'm trying to say that when we see someone failing in sinful actions that we're not to go? No. You'll see in a second here in a little bit what I'm getting to. Still, when we see sinful actions, remember, don't lose your bearings. When we see sinful actions, we certainly need to correct that. You need to correct sin where sin is. Having curiosity in another's personal life, or finances, etc., so forth, that type of stuff, can destroy the peace in the church. Can also destroy peace with each other. Outside the church. Over-involvement in others' personal work, week, life, can destroy the church. Can destroy the peace. Can destroy the peace. You have to be tactful how you speak. Remember, seasoning your words with salt, as we talked about. Be careful. A church where members do not meddle in others' business, that you also inspire to lead a quiet life in your own mind and to work with your own hands as we command you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. To lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you to do, the work of God. A solution for leading a quiet life is to find a job, go to work, keep busy, and keep doing good things. Busy and doing good things. Keep busy doing what? Working for God. Busy doing what? Busy teaching other good things. Do good. Stay busy and teach. Have that inner peace. A church where members are humble, where there is a church with division, there is an inflation of pride in one or more of the members. I've seen that too. I think we've all seen that before. Pride cometh destruction. Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom. Let us listen. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in His time, or in due time. I want to look at the word proud. Look at the word proud real quick. It says, it's in the Greek word, it's showing oneself above others, overtopping, conspicuous above others. Preeminent. With an overwhelming estimate of one's means and merits, despising others and even treating them with contempt. Being haughty. Are we proud? Are you proud? Or are you humble? Word for it means not rising far from the ground. I have an illustration I'm going to show you in a second. It's for a tapestry. I think we all, not sure if y'all know what a tapestry is. I didn't. I looked it up and I found this. It's a rug that goes from the ceiling to the floor. It's a rug that goes from the ceiling to the floor. And the difference between the two is as much as the ceiling is from the carpet. The difference of the two is as much as the ceiling from the carpet. Are we going to be proud? Put ourselves up here, away from everyone? Because we can see these little people over here. We consider them proud. They're away from everybody else. And we have this man down here. Let me find it. Well, I can't see it. Has a man down here, he's kind of listening to music, kind of humbling himself. Listening to music, because it's so beautiful. He's humbled listening to it. So what are we going to do? Are you going to be proud, or are you going to humble yourself? Put yourself beneath everyone else. Not be haughty. Not be content. Contemptuous. What is your choice? Ask yourself, what can I do to promote peace, love, joy, and unity among the brethren? Ask yourself that. I did. Some things I came up with, and I know in a mindset, you have to say the words, I will. Never say the words, I might, I may. I think I can. Tell yourself, I will. You have to. It's a mental battle. Tell yourself, I will pray more fervently. Tell yourself, I will speak more words of encouragement. Tell yourself, be less critical in matters of judgment and self-abased. Tell yourself, refuse gossip. Refuse it. Stand up for the truth. Stand for the truth when opposed opposite. And ultimately, obey God's commands. Simple. And all of these above are God's commands. And we need to follow them. Because when we become a Christian, or to become less childlike, start growing up as older, we're supposed to change our lives and become a new man. And in order to do that, we have to follow God's commands. Review what we slipped at. To have peace with each member, to have peace with our life, to have peace with ourselves, one must, one, seek it, two, be with, bear with one another, three, put away childish traits, four, not meddle in others' affairs, five, have a humble attitude. Five things that we can do to have peace of heart with each other and with members of the congregation. Not just here, everywhere. We need to follow God's recipe, plain and simple. This is what we looked at today. It's what God says we must do in order to have peace. It's up to you whether or not you want to do it. It's up to myself. It's up to individuals. So ultimately, that's what we have to do is follow that recipe. There may be some here today that realize that they haven't followed God's recipe for seeking peace or any of these traits that we see, or something that someone may have said that may have touched someone's heart. I know when I was putting this together, it touched my heart pretty good. I see a lot of this in me. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to be a man and not be a child? Are we willing to want that peace with ourselves? Are we wanting to put God first in our life so that we can have that peace? There may be some here that haven't obeyed the gospel yet, that want to put God in their life so they can have that peace that passes all understanding, so that they can lay their pillow down on the bed at night, not have to worry about saying, "Lord, come quickly." Whichever you desire, whether it be repentance or acceptance of God in your life, become a child of God, become a new creature, if you would come as we stand and sing, Lord.